just a hack. He's just an absolute hack. And he gets his ass kicked by his teammates every week. It's just, you know, it's terrible. It's just terrible.
Welcome back to Hack City. Joe DeLeon, Sean Anderson, two former college football players from the University of Rhode Island. We have the first round of the FCS football playoffs coming your way, and we're going to be previewing the slate of games that we have. So typically, we only do two games when we do these preview episodes, when it's the regular season, and anyone who's tuned in during the playoffs, we dive deep. We're going to go on all these games, probably just a few minutes on each, but we're going to get to every single one, sharing our thoughts on how we think things are going to play out. Now, if you do want to bet on these, you can do it at BetOnline. I believe in the past, I know for a fact in the later rounds, BetOnline does provide lines. I believe this year there are lines for the first round as well. I'm going to check on that. Well, Sean does the read.
Yeah, the hatless Hack City back here talking BetOnline. The holiday season off and rolling. NFL in full stride. NBA, NHL. Hitting mid-season forms, BetOnline, it's the number one destination for all your sports wagering info. Up-to-the-minute sports wagering news, odds, trends, predictions, BetOnline is the top spot for anything pro and amateur sports. We toiled, Joe, me and my house got tricked by daylight savings times on Monday evening, and it was dark, so we figured that, you know, Monday night football was starting soon, and right. I'm looking at the clock, I'm like, we still have 2 hours. We talked about
it's very disorienting.
I hate it, and I'm not. That's a cold take. Everybody hates it, but I hated it because we talked about bets and lines and odds and totals from BetOnline for an hour, and we still had 30 minutes before the game started. I had a nice little four legger. Only one in the house to hit. Head to BetOnline today, and remember to use our promo code BLEAV. That's BLEAV for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online where the game starts. The trend of me being the only one in the house, apartment, whatever, to hit will continue whether or not I live with Joe DeLeon. Because I know if we live together, it's going to be all me all the time. Thank you. Because
who led the FBS betting? Who leads it right now? Who already won, by the way? There's no way for you to come back, by the way.
Crooked figures.
Care to share? Would you care to share how the current standings are?
I don't know.
I won. No. I won. All right.
I had a lot of bad beats.
Let's get into this first round of games. So I'm going to start us off here with Gardner-Webb versus Mercer. I was thinking about this a little bit. There's like one Gardner-Webb fan who commented on her video. Mm-hmm. Apparently, I actually do remember this last year. We bashed the hell out of Gardner-Webb last year. And guess what we're going to do right now? We're going to bash the hell out of Gardner-Webb again this year.
That's you.
Look, plain and simple, this is your typical back end of the bracket type of a team that just gets plopped in. They won their conference. They're just here. They're facing off with Mercer, who's one of the hotter teams in FCS. One of the hotter teams that has had a pretty massive ride to get into this bracket. They finished the year strong with wins over key teams in the SoCon, end up finishing with an 8-3 record, which is just massive. I'm not going to get in the way of this passing attack for Mercer. And I think that Gardner-Webb, I'm a fan of Ty French, who is a record-breaking defensive end, but the rest of this roster, it's just fine. I don't think that they've got the secondary to keep up with Carter Peavy, who is the replacement for the kid last year, his name is escaping me, but we know who Ty James and Devron Harper are.
Exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah. He was, oh my God, this is going to bother me. And then Jamie Williams in the morning is going to text us who that person's name was
in the morning. When is this releasing?
I'm going to release this tonight.
Oh, so he'll text us tonight.
Yeah. He'll text us tonight. He'll also have the full backstory, his zip code of his mother's house, all of it. He'll have all that information.
He is, but nonetheless in,
but I have never seen anyone so plugged in. Nonetheless, Carter Peavy and Ty James, Devron Harper, it has been an electric passing attack over the past 2 years, and they have so much momentum right now. I do not see a world where Gardner-Webb is going to be able to keep up with them.
I beat you to it, Jamie. Fred Payton.
Ah, come on. I was looking forward to that message. Ah,
Beat you to it, Jamie. Jamie, he can't get everyone. Did you see what he said also? That's good. Yeah, I'm going to take my victory lap, Jamie. I'm going to rank them. I'm going to rank that certain team. All right. Thank you. They won their conference. I know it's the NEC.
All right, I thought of this. We're talking about this game.
Yeah, Gardner-Webb rattled off. I mean, they came down the stretch hot. Five straight wins. Playoff team. Go ahead. Big South. Congratulations. I'm concerned about their loss to Austin Peay. They lost to Austin Peay by quick maths here, 41 minus 14. Doesn't matter. Two scores. Yeah. They got beat bad. They have beaten up on the Tennessee Techs, Charleston Southerns. They had an overtime win against Bryant. So if you know anything about those teams, you kind of know where Gardner-Webb stands in the entire landscape. Not great, but enough to win their conference.
By the way, this has to be acknowledged right here. The Big South is the most barnyard ass conference.
Okay. I don't know why
they have four teams. There's literally, wait, I'm double checking. There's four teams in the conference. There's four teams.
You're gonna
not a conference.
You're gonna respect the Big South. You're gonna respect the Big South.
It's the most little big name of. I don't even know how you call yourself the Big South with four teams when one of them's also in Rhode Island with Bryant.
Big spirit and big heart. How about that?
Sure.
You're gonna make me a Big South fan. Your stance on this is gonna flip me into being a Big South advocate.
You're an idiot. Of course you would buy stock in the Big South. All right,
I was buying stock.
Closing thoughts on this game?
I think Mercer has the edge. I think Mercer has a more dynamic offense. Gardner-Webb is solid on the ground. Jaden Brown has had their lead back. He's had a couple really good games this year. Not jumping off the page for fat stats worthy, but toting that rock, doing the thing. I think he's the mainstay on offense. In the playoffs, you want to run the ball. So Gardner-Webb needs to run the ball. Mercer, if you have that aired out, try to run the ball a little bit. But I think Mercer has the edge in this one.
Duquesne versus Youngstown State. This is a pretty lopsided one as well. I know that they're your team for some reason. Once a powerhouse in the early 1910s, Duquesne, no longer are they nearly as relevant. But they did win the NEC. They did sneak their way into the bracket. Youngstown, they are running into a team that's got some, you know, pretty scary offensive prowess. Their capabilities, what they've done this year in some of these games, is very impressive. Mitch Davidson, Tyshawn King, it's a double-headed monster there at quarterback and at running back. I think that Duquesne's fine, but this is a really, really nice, easy opening game for Youngstown, who had an up and down year, had a couple bad losses, but we know how good Youngstown is. They're going to be a challenge for, I believe they play South Dakota State. Not a challenge, but they're going to put up a fight because they're a good team, just with a record that maybe doesn't necessarily reflect that because they had a tough schedule.
I don't even like running through Youngstown State's season. I don't. They beat Robert Morris by 14. They lose to Northern Iowa by 3. Northern Iowa scored 44 in that game. They beat Southern Illinois by 28, lose to South Dakota by 3. It's just a questionable, it's a weird team, weird season, B grade. They're in that B level. They're in that UNI level. And who's showing up? Is it the dynamic offense that can go toe-to-toe with the Bs? Or is it the sleepy Youngstown Penguins that occasionally throw out an odd one, throw out a curveball? I think they're better than Duquesne. I think they're stronger than Duquesne. Duquesne's fine. Duquesne's good. Duquesne has earned it. They did their job. But I can't look at such a Jekyll and Hyde team in Youngstown and say that the Jekyll is bad. No, when they're good, when they're on, that is, this is a team that is rolling. They are firing on all cylinders. They can do it. They can make noise if they're locked in. If they're not locked in, it's going to be a quick exit. That's how Youngstown State season is going to be. That's how it's felt every time, every year that we've covered them. A little bit underwhelming. They have some good players. They always have a dude, right? It's one of those programs. Always have a dude. Game changer. They need more, though. They need more guys than just Jaleel McLaughlin to step up.
Sac State versus North. Yeah. From last year.
Yeah.
Sac State versus, I'm actually very confused about what was that. I don't understand what that last point. What were you trying to make with that last point? Why did you bring up Jaleel McLaughlin?
Other guys need to step up from their one dude.
Okay. Yeah. North Dakota versus Sac State. This game is a bit of a head scratcher for me because I thought I knew who Sac State was early on in the year. Mm. And complications at the quarterback position have made this year a little bit iffy for them. Things started to go downhill after they got manhandled by Montana. I think our confidence in them has really started to really suffer. Now they're going against North Dakota team who I have described as just being perfectly slightly above average. They don't do one thing particularly well. Tommy Schuster is a fine quarterback. I think that he is one of the more experienced and well-known players in their conference, and he's somebody to pay attention to in this game. Sac State, I keep turning to Marcus Fulcher. I know statistically he hasn't really lived up to the hype because he hasn't been fully available. But his performance in this game, I think, is going to be critical for their success. On the flip side of things, does UND, do they play that style of defense that they played against South Dakota and some of these other big games that they had? Or are they going to be porous and give up some late scores against a team that is pretty creative offensively?
Sac State's been doing a weird bit. They can't make the decision, or maybe they don't want to make the decision between Caden Bennett and Carson Conklin. Last game versus UC Davis, Bennett threw for 28 times, Conklin threw 25 times. Are they trying to do a Montana State bit, but not run the quarterbacks? Is that what I'm seeing? Because they gave Marcus Fulcher 10 carries, and they lost to UC Davis. If you're going to do this system, you have the blueprint, run the ball. If you're going to do two quarterbacks, you can't have two quarterbacks both throwing the ball 25 plus times unless you're really trying to. That is a risky move late season.
Yeah.
You're not a bona fide seed to still be testing your quarterbacks in a game versus UC Davis, risking the loss. You did lose, and now you're going into the playoffs. Did you make your decision? What are we going into this with? Because if you want two quarterbacks to be doing this, run them, have two athletic quarterbacks that can run the rock, like Malott and Chambers. If not...
Well, the other iteration of that, though, is I always point to the DeShone Kizer, Malik Zaire situation where you brought in Malik Zaire to run the football and then you had DeShone Kizer in a different series to throw the ball. Like, why aren't you at least trying to do that? I think that is just...
It's tumultuous. Confusing.
Yeah.
It's very confusing. Sac State, weird team, top to bottom, can make noise, a dangerous team, but I don't think they have an identity right now. What is Sac State's identity?
That's why I kind of think that I don't lean North Dakota, but I have a feeling that North Dakota wins this game because it feels like Sac State's been getting in their own way. You know, they've just been creating problems for themselves when they have a good team. They've got a good roster. They've got a team that was good enough to beat Stanford. And apparently they've just hung their hat on that and they're not capable of doing much else. That's the problem here.
I definitely lean North Dakota in this. Injuries at Sac State, odd. It's just they have not lived up to the potential. That's all right. You're not the first team to ever do that. But you can't be going into the playoffs with so many question marks. So I will lean North Dakota because we know who they are.
Mm. Drake plays North Dakota State. Mm. I don't think we need to elaborate. Drake is... I remember a time when the Pioneer League put out some really good San Diego teams, man. And I don't remember the Jim Harbaugh era where, you know, Josh Johnson was there. I don't really remember most of that. But we do remember that when we were in college, they put out some pretty hard-fighting teams, that San Diego team.
Mm-hmm.
Duncan Cade was there at one point, and the guy went on to be a star and a first-round pick. But since then, I don't think the Pioneer League really puts out a lot of really competitive
You're
teams.
Hating on the Big South, and now you're hating on the Pioneer League, Joe.
I don't know,
Is
man.
Is there anyone
I just,
you do like?
No.
You're
okay.
A Big Sky sympathizer. That's what you
they're,
are.
The Missouri Valley Football Conference is who they're playing. But
I know. I'm just calling you out for the Georgia fan, Big Sky sympathizer that you are.
What I'm getting at here is that when San Diego was at the height of their program, we would hear about them all the time in the national conversation of at least just being like a good back end,
exciting
middle back end of the top 25. I haven't heard a goddamn thing about Drake until this week. So North Dakota State, man, congratulations. You guys got the easiest warm-up game. Get your fourth quarterback in. What do you know about Drake that you could bring to the table here that is proof that North Dakota State loses this football game?
Drake does numbers. They either win big or they lose big, all right? So
yeah, and look at the Missouri Valley football teams that they got dicked down by, man. That's going to happen in this game. Drake, I'm sorry. Don't get off the bus, man. Congratulations. Just take the honor of being able to say you made the playoffs. Do not take the bloodbath and the beating that you're about to take.
When it's 7-7 in the first quarter, you're going to be a little upset that I'm calling you out on this one. I am going to pick North Dakota State.
There's
to
not a damn shot.
Edge this game out. They're going to squeak by.
You're such an ass. You don't mean that.
I cover my bases.
You don't mean that.
I cover my bases.
I hope if anyone knows a Drake football fan, please. Where is Drake, Sean?
Where is Drake? No. You can't hit me with that.
It's in Iowa.
God, who cares?
I think it is. Drake University.
Don't ask me trick
questions. Des Moines, Iowa. Yeah, it's in Des Moines, Iowa.
Don't ask me trick questions.
Who the hell cares?
Drake needs to be a directional. If you know, I know where SEMO is.
It's in southeastern Missouri.
Yeah,
man.
I know where SELA is. Southeastern Louisiana. Yeah, I'm on it.
All right. NC Central versus Richmond. This might be the best.
It is.
Just most entertaining game of the first round. There's a couple others that I think that are going to... There's another one in a second that I want to talk about that's actually very exciting. NC Central versus Richmond, who NC Central did some damage to the CAA, man. They said, oh, you guys think you're in a conference that's better than us? Psych! We're going to beat the crap out of the teams in your conference that typically also do damage in the conference, or at least can surprise people. They bow race some teams, man. The way that they played against Elon, I was really impressed. It all comes down to a guy that has been there for a while that has been so impactful, and he gets a chance to come out of this game with a playoff win. And I'm talking about Davius Richard. Speaking of Jamie, one of the comments that he had made was that he might go to the game so that he can get to see Davius Richard. He's one of those guys in the FCS that just does not get enough love. Statistically, he's just been fantastic this year. We have to acknowledge, though, where the strengths lie on Richmond. Offensively, I feel like they always had a quarterback this year. I'm not as worried about the quarterback position. I will say they have a very good offensive line. They've got one guy in particular who I think is going to get a PFA opportunity in the NFL. And then Tristan Wheeler is a good football player at linebacker, man. He is the heartbeat of that defense. He is somebody that is just disruptive and causes damage and has been the reason why that they've pulled out some of these games. So for me, this is not literally, but it is a battle between Davius Richard and Tristan Wheeler.
Richard gets the nod. I will lean NC Central. They are solid. I don't know how many times I was combing through and just saw the NC State. Just looking through it. Go ahead. Let's just peep. Oh, Davius Richard. Oh, he only threw for a touchdown. Okay, that's odd. Three rushing touchdowns. Complete inverse next game. He's too dangerous for Richmond. Richmond will need elite linebacker play and very, very good play in the secondary to bottle him up. Internal pressure is huge. Beating the guards in the centers is huge. But like you said, it's a good O-line. I went completely backwards there on who I was talking about with the O-line part. Richmond needs to step up on defense. That is the main point, because he will carve you up and he will go on to the next round and forget about you as soon as the game is over. Mm-hmm. And that's who he is. Incredibly exciting. Good for Jamie going to go see him. Richmond was never that high on them this year. They had a pretty easy schedule throughout the CAA this season. They did not play the power.
It bothers me that they won the CAA because they had probably one of the most favorable CAA schedules out of any of these teams. Easily.
Yeah. It's just they didn't. Maybe it's my bias. I've seen it happen too many times where the CAA will technically have a champion and you'll have teams in the top four that were technically top four, but you weren't playing the big cats. You weren't really getting it done. So it'll be a little bit of exposing time this weekend.
I'm picking NC Central. Are you picking NC Central? I will. By the way, I have to point out, there were so many people on a weekly basis that were like, Why is NC Central ranked that high? Why is NC Central ranked that high? We're about to find out this weekend.
Yep.
We're going to find out this weekend why before that Howard loss, why they were deserving of being in that top 10 discussion, because they were a really freaking good football team. Don't be shocked if they do some day. I mean, I'm actually happy that Howard beat him, because now we get to watch him in the damn playoffs.
Yeah.
This is exciting.
Yeah, it's fun.
Nichols versus SIU. Nichols is just another one of those teams that just slops their way into the playoffs.
What are you talking about?
Colin Guggenheim.
He's a gangster-ass gangster at the running back position. He's been huge this year.
Good statistically for this Nichols State team, but they're facing off with one of the best defenses in the country in SIU. God, I don't know if Colin Guggenheim is a neck, man. I don't know if this kid is a neck.
I told you.
Dude, one of the pictures, I really quickly pulled up his bio. One of the pictures is of him running into a completely loaded box. Just like the most, go pull up his bio on the website. Completely loaded box. There's no room to run, very clearly. And he is head first. Like, could not be any more head down, forward leaning with the football. This guy has a complete reckless abandonment with the football. And I kind of respect the hell out of it. And he's been a really good football player. All these pictures of him, man, head down, head just completely down. His performance, if he can run the football, we know the Nichols in the past has been a run first downhill type of a team.
Yeah.
But we got to see what they do against this SIU defensive front. Can they pick up any completions against that elite secondary? PJ Jules has been phenomenal. All of that is going to come into play, because SIU's defense, when Nick Baker and the offense have had some issues, they have picked up the slack big time.
Man, Nichols always has good running backs. God, this guy squats 600 pounds, Guggenheim, easily.
Running backs with a singular leg brace are always frightening.
Easily. I think Nichols can cause some problems for SIU, because SIU has had some terribly weird games this season. Way up and down in that Youngstown category. Who's showing up? Who is showing up for SIU? I don't know. I can't tell you who is going to show up. Is it going to be the SIU that kept it close to South Dakota State that looked like they was on point? Or is it going to be the team that just gets blown the hell out? They have to get something schemed up. They need something schemed up for Nichols, because they can't just go in there and run base. We have finally reached the part of the season where I can declare SIU can't run their base stuff. You have to make some changes if you want to win this game. You need to.
They'll be fine.
There's too much film.
Easy. You simmer down.
They'll be fine. They'll be fine.
There's always a team, Joe. There's always one. They'll be fine. This isn't the same Nichols that we're used to talking about, man. The SIU got some dogs on that defense. I think they're going to do some damage.
Okay.
This is the other game that I wrote down. I think is very underrated for being one of the more exciting games of the weekend. Lafayette versus Delaware. I think two very similar style teams from a very similar region. Man, a lot of people clowned on me for being high on Lafayette. I see a team that runs the ball hard, and I see a team that's got talented linebackers. Billy Schaefer is a very productive football player, but dude, Jamar Curtis is one of the top leading rushers in FCS football. And you don't get 1,300 rushing yards easy, man. You just don't. That stuff doesn't just happen. That doesn't just happen because you played a couple of weak defenses. That means you're doing it every single week.
He's a stud.
And he's been barreling through people. Delaware's been battling through injuries, and they're kind of, you know, they've got the wet blanket laying on top of them the way that they played against Villanova. I'm going to come out and say it. I think Lafayette wins this football game, man.
Wow.
Are you inspired by another team from Pennsylvania just beat the shit out of them last week? I'm going to sit here and say that I think that Lafayette is going to come to the table here, not playing any games, because Delaware has, I have put too much stock into Delaware this whole season, and they have been underwhelming. Every opportunity to prove that they're a good football team, they have underwhelmed. So why would I not take the team that I think has a better more physical identity?
That's fine. That's where you're at. I will not be on the side of history that is picking Lafayette to beat Delaware.
Oh, that's a shame. I'm gonna rub it in your goddamn face.
I hope you do. Pull the clip. Clip me. I don't care. Right now, I am not taking Lafayette over Delaware. I will not. Go out and surprise me. Prove it to me. Stop beating underwhelming Holy Cross. Stop telling me that wins over Ivy League teams matter. The win that I respect most is the win over Monmouth. That's a good win for Lafayette.
Okay, that's a bad
take. That's a good win.
That's a bad take.
Monmouth's a good team. Shut
Monmouth.
It.
Monmouth is hot garbage.
What's Monmouth?
Monmouth is hot garbage.
What happened? They didn't accept you. I know it's a Jersey school. They didn't take you into their school.
I had no aspiration to go to Monmouth.
Oh yeah, but I'm sure you were the biggest St. Peter's fan of all time last year. Shut up.
Eat it.
Shut up. I'm taking Delaware, and I will be right.
Shocking. The guy who went 60-60 in FC estimates.
Keep getting swept up in your own bias. Idiot.
87-36 was my final total, by the way.
Not a chalk.
Wait, that math does not add up.
Way to take risks. Why would I take risks? You stink.
How does that math?
How about you do the math after the show and not right in the middle of it? Production notes in the middle of the show.
I'm so distracted by the math I'm adding up in the FC estimates because you have 120 picks, but I for some reason have.
This is all I did all year was talk about the fraudulent bookkeeping all year, and now it's coming to light as soon as the competition ends.
Wait. Fraudulent bookkeeping does not lead to a 27 race difference.
You erase. You didn't want to start new documents.
You think that it leads didn't to want to have a straight up bare bone.
You
difference?
Don't like the archive because you know I can go back and check, and I'm not. And you know I won't go through the messy Google Doc cloud.
I'll figure out.
You're
the
a liar,
I was
and you.
It doesn't
yourself.
Lead to a 27 game difference.
It
you jamoke.
A slow drip creates a flood, dummy. You've been doing it since week one.
If I had one incorrect game, one incorrect, if anything, all I did was forget to add a loss. We're discussing correct amount of picks.
We're discussing integrity and bookkeeping, which of you have neither.
You had every opportunity to come into that document and check if the math was right. And it's not hard.
I swear the math is right. Oh, check the last edit. No, make a doc. Make an actual doc.
It's the same as having multiple documents. You buffoon.
It's not the same. There's not a date. There's not a title. It's just Hack City show notes.
No, if anything, I can create multiple documents and then manipulate the numbers in every single document. There is an actual backdated date and time of when the changes
have
been made.
There wouldn't be on those. I could still go back and see it. You're a liar, a fraud, and you have been caught.
There is no.
This is
being
an egregious
caught.
Disaster. For
no.
This
okay.
Show
how about this?
Because
you
want to
catch me?
Book.
Go back through the restored versions and fucking do the math.
You know
how
I don't.
That?
You know I won't do that because there's too many versions.
Yeah,
it's too
because
much.
Because you know that it doesn't much. Matter. It doesn't matter
no.
Because 20. This
I
is not
told
like it was
you
a
from
five
the beginning.
Game difference.
I told
John.
You from the beginning that you can't.
I would
keep
have
the
to
book.
Be a buffoon.
I'll keep the
to
book
try
next
and
season.
Do this with 27 games. 27. You know what the difference might be? I swear to God, if I go back and I do the math and I find out I won more games, I'm going to be up your ass, man.
Why? You still got it wrong. I'll keep the book next year. I'll keep the book for the bowl game picks. I will keep the book. You
just
can't
like you
be trusted.
You wanted to move the goalposts on the betting competition because
Joe,
that's the one
you
should be worried about.
You just can't be trusted to keep the book. I'll handle it.
I didn't do anything deliberately. It was just a mismatch. I'm gonna check after this. The last game that we're talking about here, Sean, you stink. You're just do none of the work, and then you're getting mad at me because I added something up.
I will do the work to make sure that it's right.
Chattanooga versus Austin Peay.
Lying liar.
I'm in on Austin Peay in these final weeks. I was accused of not liking them, but they finished the season strong. Javon Jackson, Mike DeLello statistically are two of the best players in the country. DeLello came from Florida Tech in Middle Tennessee. Very productive football player. Tyler Long and Howard Sam at the linebacker position is also fantastic. We know who Jay Person is for Chattanooga. He's been a great football player. Look, I really think that Austin Peay's got this one in the back. I think that this is an opportunity for them to show that they're a hot team right now, that they put up some ridiculous offensive numbers. We got to watch out for them. They put up a pretty good fight against Tennessee, and I think we're on watch here on Austin Peay.
It'll be a good game. This will be a sneaky, exciting game. Chattanooga had a great year. They had a great season. I'm not going to let it get diminished. I don't think Austin Peay has it in the bag. I still think Chattanooga is very dangerous. They are a team that can put up points on you. They can hold you to low points. They held Mercer to 10, and they scored 50 on Western Carolina at peak Western Carolina. WCU did win that game by 2 points, but they can do it all. They can match the tempo if you try to change it. So Austin Peay, you better be ready to play Austin Peay football, because if you deviate from that, Chattanooga is going to get the best of you, because you're setting the table. They're just going to go in there and eat. So I am not worried about this game. I am excited for it. It should be fun, whichever way it is.
You'll always pick against Austin. Like, gee, I wonder how Joe built up such a big lead. Oh, maybe it's by the fact
of Austin Peay.
Maybe it's by the fact that every
final poll,
Austin Peay is a great offense.
They're a great team.
Austin Peay, you pick against them every time we do FCS. It's because of some innate. Okay, but you're sitting here questioning, how did Joe build up such a big lead? Maybe it's because they were
how many Austin Peay games do we pick this year? Three,
at least five.
Oh, you're tripping.
At least five. There were at least five instances where you picked against Austin Peay because of your stupid bit, and you're going, Joe cooked the books. 27.
The books are fraudulent. It just takes one to let me know the books are fraudulent.
I'm not
it
just dumb takes enough
one
to cook
betting
the books.
Scandal to lose the public's trust in boxing.
I'm not dumb enough That's to cook the takes. Books oh by picking. God. Picking that
you are dumb
of a
enough
lead.
To cook the books.
Do you know how stupid I would need to be to give myself a 27 game lead?
Don't give yourself enough credit. Too much credit.
If you want to cook the books, you do it by a couple. Because I've done it before in other
you're
things.
You're doing a couple each.
Not with this.
You're just doing a slow drop, slow drip, drop.
If you're gonna cheat, you do it in a way that is minusculely.
That's what you have been doing each week, apparently. How would I know? How would I know when the count is right or wrong?
You at Jody Lynn at Sanderson Radio, I need a new co-host
I need a co-host that can do math, and that's honest. I'm taking the books.
There's nothing dishonest about what I've done. Thanks for subscribing and listening to this show. I hate it. I hate showing up for this every single week because of you. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, folks. I'm sorry.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.